Our praise and worship team doing an awesome job tonight. One other thing I think that would be in divine order at our All Nations Sunday is that if somebody made good old-fashioned Southern vanilla pudding that had those little banana pudding that had those little Nilla wafers in it, I think that would be of God as well. So I'm just, we want to be in the right spirit. I just blew it for you guys. It's so great to have Brother and Sister Spears here. And let's just welcome them. They have been such a blessing to Calvary Gospel Church. Brother Steve Spears.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. So I didn't hear anything about some gumbo or crawfish. Jambalaya, somebody said. Who said that? You do know what you're talking about. Little boudin. Tell you, I won't say that. Somewhere in a northern journey, I stopped at a place, and I didn't say it was here, and the sign said gumbo, but no, but I prayed for them that God would bless them on their journey towards revelation. Amen. Yeah, so we season everything heavy. Heavy spice and heat on everything. Don't matter what it is, just put some heat to it. So, yeah, I don't know. We're going to have church here, I guess, and get off all this stuff, but God bless you. It's just good to be home and be in church tonight. Feel the presence of the Lord. Wish I could come to that service. That sounds like a lot of fun. And anyway, we love you. So here is here's kind of a little game plan. Many of you have asked to hear about China, Terry's latest trip that you guys actually helped her go on. Supported her trip, and it's having incredible effect. She actually has quite an underground following going on, and you're going to want to hear that. So we're going to do that Wednesday night. And then some of you have been bold enough to ask me to sing. And Wednesday night we'll have China and singing. How's that? And so we're going to have a good time. Anyway, God bless you. So we just thank the Lord for, we thank the Lord for your pastor and sister pastor. Where is she? Right there, yes. We thank the Lord for them. They have become very, very good friends of ours. And we thank God for that. And it's certainly Terry and I's pleasure to be here. Before this is all over, we're going to try. I don't know how on earth we're going to do it, but we need to get our whole family up here. Boy, we would have one more great time. Kids in ministry are just amazing. Of course, we think that. But I'd love for them all to get to be here and be in your church and around you folks. So we'll be praying about that. But thank you, Pastor. I love you and thank you very much. And Sister Pastor and Miss Brother Bishop Pastor. And so God is on the throne, He doesn't need help. He's ready. Everybody say, He's ready. He's ready. He's ready. And so we're going to lift up His name and believe Him for great things tonight. I'm ready to pray for people. I'm ready to see the Holy Ghost fall. I'm ready to see people healed and signs and miracles and wonders and great outpourings of the Holy Ghost take place in this house tonight. Hallelujah. So let's love the Lord in one mind and one accord. Jesus, we love you and praise you and thank you. Giving you glory and lifting up your holy name that's above every name. You are great and greatly to be praised. You are above all, in all, through all. Without you, we can do nothing. We realize that tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Sister Terry is coming. For whatever she feels, she'll either preach or she'll introduce me to preach or we'll both preach. But she's coming at this time. Give the pretty girl a hand clap. You liked that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I just want to go have potluck tonight. I said, I feel like I just want to go have potluck tonight. Yeah. The banana pudding put the top on it, and now I'm ready to go have potluck. So I guess I'm going to have to come back on All Nations Sunday so I can have some of all this good food. I don't even know where I'm supposed to be, but wow, y'all are making me so hungry. You can be seated. See, I told you, He does this every time. He makes y'all stand because He has to.
After all the nice things I said.
Y'all want to know who requested for him to sing? It would be me.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know that till just a minute ago. But I'm glad He's doing that. So if you like good old country singing, you need to be here. But you know what I like? I like the presence of God. And I like the fact that you can have fun and be in the presence of God. Now, I don't know about all those trucks, but I'm taking it that this is a Chevy church. Okay, well, they won. I really don't know much about all that. What did you say? Yeah, I've always told him when my ship comes in someday, I'm buying him a pickup truck because he's always wanting a pickup truck. And so he's waiting on my ship to come in so he can get a pickup truck. So... And I'm supposed to preach after all this? I can do it. You are right. I can do it. Whoever had the vote of confidence, thank you. But I do. I love coming here for so many reasons. But you know what? This is one of them. It's just fun. It's just fun. And we, Steve and I, are in different church every week, sometimes two or three churches in a week. And most churches don't know how to have so much fun. But I like to come have fun. So I just, if I ever decide to move from the South, I guess I'm going to have to move to Madison. It's just so cold here in the winter for so long. And the islands are agreeing with me tonight. But they do have cheese curds, and that's my favorite thing in the world. So, I think the sermon title for tonight is going to be very appropriate. So let's get started. Has anyone in this house ever read at least part of the Bible? Have you ever encountered some really, really interesting people in the Bible? Have you ever lived under the concept that because they're mentioned in the Bible and because they're preached about, that they are wonderful in all their ways? That was a trick question. Let's start this questioning sequence over. Have you ever encountered people in this church who are interesting? I have encountered quite a few of y'all that are interesting. Has anyone in this house ever disappointed you? Well, we got 2 for 2 on that one, didn't we? Now, this is not a have you, but this is a do you. Live under the concept that because they're at the church and they go to church, that they should be wonderful in all their ways all the time. That the Holy Ghost makes us all superheroes and we never make mistakes like they did in the Bible. Let me tell y'all something that you probably didn't know. This is a tough world. This is an insane world, if you want to know the truth. I've never been so embarrassed to be an American as I was this week. Nothing political about it. But those Supreme Court hearings, our world's gone crazy. Mom and I were in Louisville, Kentucky, and the hearing was on, and I walked in the room, and about 5 minutes later, I stood up, and I said, I can't take this. And they should all be glad I'm not God. I would rain fire and brimstone down on that whole mess and just walk off. Craziness. And you know what? We all struggle. And newsflash, we all make mistakes. And just because somebody in your section of the church or across the aisle from you has made a disastrous mistake or simply are struggling with something and questioning some things, that doesn't mean they're bad or that God is through with them. God made all kinds of things. Look at the animal world. Now that's some strange things. And then look at your neighbor.
I knew that was coming.
Let's put the quote on the screen, please. I don't know a perfect person. I only know flawed people who were still worth loving. I've come to help you a little bit with some of this tonight. And here's my title, which is very appropriate after this service tonight. How to stay sane in an insane world. Heavenly Father, I ask you to meet with us tonight. We're all just kids. We're all just learning how to do this. None of us have it down. None of us have all the proper answers. But Lord, I know that you do. And I know that you have the plan to help us survive the insanity that we are all thrown in at this juncture in history. And the things that we're all living through. And the situations, not only in our nation, but in our world. And then even in our own families. Help us tonight. Lead, guide, open our ears, our minds, and our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first rule to stay sane and survive, your number one rule, we need each other. And not to criticize or undermine, but to support and love and care for each other. It's very tough outside of these four walls, and it should not be tough inside them.
Amen.
Let me share something that's very important for you to know. Most of the popular people in the Bible had prominent dysfunctions, either with themselves or in their families, and usually both. And you know what? God loved them, and God used them, and mostly God built a kingdom with them. They were not wonderful and on fire for God all the time. They struggled. They thought they were losing their minds at times. And their kids did terrible things.
Yeah.
I really find this strangely comforting. Even consoling. Because we all find ourselves battling the challenges that life throws at us. And we see that in the Word, these heroes that we look up to so much and hear preached about all the time really struggled too. Sorry, but I just like that fact. Just makes me feel warm and fuzzy. Let me run through a list that I found recently to show you that it don't matter what your faults are tonight, where you come from tonight. You have such great potential to make an impact on the kingdom of God. Let's run through some of these in the Bible. Look at Adam. Adam, the first perfectly made man, was a blame shifter who could not resist peer pressure. Look at Noah. The last righteous man on the earth at that time. If you'll just click on my PowerPoint, there we go. What it's doing. But he was the last righteous man on earth, and he was drunk and slept in the nude. Abraham, the forefather of the faith, the friend of God, let other men walk all over his wife on two different occasions and actually walk off with his wife. Moses, the most humble man on the face of the earth, had a serious problem with his temper.
Yeah, he did. Anger
management. He needed anger management. We had to get the Ten Commandments twice. David, friend of God, concealed his adultery with a murder. You want to talk about some of the women? Eve, the first woman who was also perfectly created, couldn't control her appetite. And she had a bad habit of listening to the wrong people. I'm going to give both of y'all a mic. Would you like one too, Doug? Sarah, the most gorgeous woman by popular opinion.
She was.
Even when she's 90, let her husband sleep with another woman and then hated the woman because of it. Go figure.
Yeah.
Rebecca. She was the first ever mail order bride. And she turned out to be a very manipulative wife. Rachel, wrote the book on love at first sight. She was a kleptomaniac. Boy, I am just ruining y'all's theology tonight, aren't I? Miriam, the songwriter. Moses' sister. Sibling jealousy and a greed for power. You know, the prophets, even as they spoke for God, they struggled with impurities and depressions and unfaithful spouses and broken families. But I think my all-time favorite of all of these dysfunctional people is Elijah. He called down fire from heaven. He outran a team of horses. And then a woman threatens him. And he runs and hides in a cave. And he says he wants to die. Really? Dude, you just outran horses and called down fire. He was scared. The struggle was real for all of them. And my friend, it's real for all of us. And we might as well get real about the struggle. So how do we survive the struggle? And how do I stay spiritual when the struggle is so real? Just look at your neighbor and tell them, the struggle is real. The struggle's real. The struggle's real. You don't have a neighbor, so I'm going to tell you. Struggle's real. You want to move to the New Testament characters? Well, let's just do that. They were a wonderful crew. Paul. Let's start with good old brother Paul, who used to be Saul and stoned Christians for a living. Peter. You may want to sit me down after this one, and that's okay. I'll be glad to. Peter just gave somebody a real good cussing. He did it. The handpicked by Jesus' disciples fell asleep while he was praying at his most desperate time of need. Martha worried about everything. Timothy had an ulcer. The Samaritan woman who brought such great revival was married a bunch of times. Lazarus was dead. Where was his faith for healing? He died. The struggle is real. Then and now, the struggle is real. But I've come tonight to give you some hope. And I've come to take away some stigma and to relieve you from some pressure. Living for God is not supposed to be a constant, unpleasant uphill journey. God is in love with us. Faults, failures, disappointments, and everything. He is madly in love with us. We are his bride, and he is preparing for a wedding. And yes, there are stressful times in this process. But you know what? I think during this insane time that we're living, we are losing focus on the end game. We are being overcome with all of our issues. Why did we all start this journey? It's really simple, because we fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with Jesus. Sin does have consequences, and we do reap what we sow. Whether we get saved or not, you're going to reap what you sow. But here's the deal. Our dysfunctions cannot be equated with our standing before God. We would characterize all of these Bible heroes as righteous or at least faith-filled, but they had issues and they were all dysfunctional. And we all have issues and we're all a little bit pitiful. But you know what I've learned? It's how we handle our issues that make the difference. And I need to help you handle yours, and you need to help me handle mine and not criticize the way I handle them. I just need a hug every now and then. Let's look at 1 John 3 and 20. I like this scripture. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. He knows everything. Even if my heart condemns me, God's greater than my heart. Do you know Paul spent so much of his energy struggling against sin and finally left the task of judging himself with God? Look at what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 4. I love his honesty here. He said, but with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. You know what? If you're going to survive with any sanity in these days, we got to get off our judgment seats. Do y'all know that song, You're My Brother, You're My Sister? You're my brother, you're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together, what? We will work until he comes. I love this part. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. Together, as long as there's love, we will stand. We're not alone. Hey, get up, quick. Get up, everybody get up. Go find somebody. Tell them you're not alone. Everybody has to play. Tonight, everybody has to play. Find somebody, not the one you're sitting next to. Find somebody else and tell them, you are not alone. I love your dysfunction. Okay, it's not fellowship time. There is the biggest group hug over there. Okay, everybody got to sit back down. I'm not through. You know what? We've been given a family to help us, not to hurt us. Life is rough and it's messy and it's unpredictable, but we get through it and we survive the struggles because we get through it standing together. I may like gumbo and you may like goulash. But you're my brother and you're my sister. So take me by the hand, and together we can turn Madison around. We can impact Wisconsin and this nation, but we can't do it if we're not together. It's what the gospel's all about, and it's called grace. Let's read Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let me give you another great revelation I've discovered. Nobody can unscramble eggs. Only God. So let's take our scrambled lives to Him who understands and has mercy. And that's step two of our staying sane in an insane world. First is we need each other, and second is God and grace will hang with you. You know, God's word points out in painful detail the people who made mistakes. And I read you a partial list of them. And you know, the word of God does that for our benefit. The Bible records this and the sinful actions of so many of the key players and their downfallings and their discouragements and their depressions. But somehow we forget that in our day-to-day life. And we start going through one of those times and we think badly of ourselves. Or we see somebody else going through it and we speak badly about them. You all know Hebrews 11, that's called the Heroes of Faith. I want you to look at verse 38. You won't see much of what you call a hero. You know what? In this verse, there's no capes. There's no hotshot getaway cars. It says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. Whoa. Has anybody here ever felt like hiding in a hole in the ground? Will you just say amen? You're in great company. They did too. You don't have to always be shouting down the aisle to still be in love with Jesus. Look at the condition that these men were in. They were in desolate places, living in caves, and this is the hall of fame for faith? Honestly, look at this, the next verse, verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, I don't like this next part, received not the promise. They didn't even receive the fulfillment of the promise. You know what? I don't think they felt like heroes of the faith. I don't think they even felt very important at all. They were living their everyday lives struggling and holding on to something that they had heard. They didn't have a home. They had a cave. They had a desert. They had a hole in the ground. And if God can bring them through and make them great, my friend, He can bring you through and make you great. Tell your neighbor, you're my hero. We need to be on a constant mission of affirmation. He didn't die and appoint you God. He's the judge and the jury, not us. Job 42 and 6. You know, we're always hearing about how awesome Job is. Oh, man, if I could only have the patience of Job. You better watch out. Read what Job says about himself. Job 42 and 6. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He abhors himself? Really? You know what abhor means? To despise, to detest, to hate, to have no use for, to loathe, to scorn. He realizes the fragility of his own humanity. See, we only talk about how he had such great faith and endurance during his time of testing. We see people through eyes that they don't see through. You know, here's our conversation to ourselves. I should just pray more. I should study the word more. I may have given, but I didn't do it with a cheerful heart. I sure didn't want the Chevy truck to win. Sometimes I wonder why God even deals with me. We degrade ourselves. But then I look at Job. We talk about the patience of Job, but when Job talks about himself, that's not what he says. He's trying to stay sane in his search for spiritual survival. Here's another great revelation. No one hears from God 24/7. And if they claim to, back away before lightning strikes. Have you ever struggled wondering why when you pray you don't hear from God? Now you got quiet. You're just sure that something is wrong with you. Job again. Chapter 23, 8 and 9. Behold, I go forward and he's not there. I go backward and I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doeth work, but I can't behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. Job was a prayer warrior. Job was like the most righteous man. He probably came to every prayer meeting. He probably never missed a Sunday, even on vacation. And he couldn't find God. And I'm seeing other people who don't ever come to prayer meeting, and God speaks to them. Why? Let me tell you something. We don't earn the privilege of hearing God's voice. It's by his multiplied grace, step two, and his love for us that he speaks to us. You don't earn that. You don't. You see, Steve and I, and you've seen us, you know, give prophetic words and pray for the sick and people get healed and people all the time calling me wanting direction and advice, and Steve and I get home and we ask God for something and nada. Sometimes we think we're not worthy, but what we think does not count for much. He loves you. That's all that matters. Job 23:10. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God has foreordained that we are sometimes blind and deaf spiritually. I remember my father many years ago. I was just a kid. My dad went months, turned into years, turned into 3 years, that the great T.F. Tenney never felt God for 3 years. We think when we go through these times and we're being overwhelmed and we're not being able to figure out things, we think something's wrong with us. You need to let up on yourself and everybody else around you. God has always used flawed, sinful creatures. Always. Always. Everybody in here, raise your hand. Everybody in here, raise your hand. Thank you. You've just admitted to being flawed and sinful. And you've just admitted to the fact that God is going to use you. He blesses because he chooses to bless. He never blesses because we earned it. I will come out as pure gold, but in the process, I have no idea I'm headed for gold. I despise the process. You know, when the doctor walked in my hospital room one night after I had coded, blue line coded 27 times in the first month of my illness, and he told me there was no hope and I would surely die. I had no idea that I was headed for a ministry that God already had in place before I ever spent the first night in the hospital. I was merely struggling to keep my sanity in an insane world that had spun completely out of control. And in the midst of a very long night and trial. But God had already seen the end. And he was just waiting on me to walk it out. And he took every step with me. Don't despise the difficulties. They can lead you straight to your destiny. Paul was the greatest missionary ever known. So powerful, y'all, that when he was in jail, they had to change the guards every 15 minutes because he kept converting them. Wow. What a ministry that dude had. But here's what Paul says about himself. Let me read it to you. The law is good. Now, this is in Romans 7. This is a Living Bible translation because it kind of helps us understand a little bit. The law is good. Then, and the trouble is not there, but it's with me. Because I'm sold into slavery with sin as my owner. I don't understand myself at all. I love this part right here. I really want to do what's right, but I can't. This is Paul. I do what I don't want to do, what I hate. I know perfectly well that what I'm doing is wrong, and my bad conscience proves that I agree with these laws that I am breaking, but I can't help myself because I'm no longer doing it. It's the sin that's inside of me that is stronger than I am, and it makes me do these evil things. Does this sound like a conversation you've had with yourself? I know I'm rotten through and through, so far as my old sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. Now, if I'm doing what it is I don't want to, it's plain where the trouble is. Sin still has me in its evil grasp. I don't understand this, really. Paul didn't understand it either. He had times of not getting what he was going on. He was baffled. He couldn't accomplish what he wanted to do. He did what he hated when he knew it was better. Now, let me just say, this is not an endorsement to sin. Paul is just helping us out here. Paul, who had been in the third heaven, was on a journey and was struggling spiritually because he was in a process just like me and you. Paul is showing us to stop relying on ourselves, that it's only grace. You know what? You cannot pray, fast, or sing, or worship enough to earn God's favor. It is given to you because he loves you. Verse 23 says, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin that's at work with me. You know what? Paul makes me feel better. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to struggle. 2 Corinthians 1 and 8. We do not want you to be uninformed about the troubles we experienced in Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. We don't want to admit that we're so overloaded at times that we feel like we just want to die. Where's God? And you may be sitting there thinking, I thought Paul was a great man of God. People getting healed, preaching some of the greatest revelations of all times. But this verse says he's so depressed he wants to die. I want to put something else to rest here. And I think I wanted to share this with you because last time I was here, God spoke very strongly to me that he wanted to shift this church, not just to a new level, but to a new dimension. And to do that, you've got to accept yourself where you are. You can never become more for God until you realize who you are in God. It's not true that when you attain a certain level in God, where you're being used of God to prophesy or lay on hands of the sick or intercede and things move, it is not true that you will no longer have problems. That you're so spiritual that you're above all that. That your flesh will be completely conquered. My friend, that's false doctrine. You may have arrived at some tremendous places, and if you have, it's only because you've been through some tremendous struggles. And you will continue to go through them. And Paul continues his discourse to help us understand this in verse 9. He says, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who can raise the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that we will that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Paul was a strong man of faith, but still he saw his total need of dependency on God and dependency on his friends. You're my brother. You're my sister. Please take me by the hand. Step one, we need each other. Step two, God and grace will hang with us. Step three, keep walking. You see me standing here declaring what the Word of God says, and I can move in faith, and I do. But I'm going to tell you something. There were many nights in hospital beds and bound to a wheelchair where I wasn't standing so strong. But the one thing you do is keep walking. You don't throw in the towel just because it's discouraging times. And you guys have been through some things. This church has been through some things. Your family has been through some things. And there has been a shifting, and there is going to continue to be a shifting in this church. Because God is positioning you for something great. But the thing that you have to do is you've got to stay with each other. You've got to understand that grace and God's got you. And you've got to keep walking. God will use you even though you are not in the place you should be, in order to draw you into the place you need to be. Just because he uses you don't mean you've arrived. Usually he's saying, you don't need to stay there. Let me draw you a little closer. You know, there were so many times, and I'm just being honest and transparent tonight, because I believe that God is up to some tremendous things here in Madison. There was a lot of times that I just wanted to give up during my illness. And there were days when Steve and I could not see light anywhere. And there were days when it would have been much easier to die than to live. But he picked me up. And he would wash me in his word. And his word would tell me You can live. You don't have to die. And it was my sanity during my struggle to survive. And the word is what is going to see this church body through if you keep walking it out. When the word says God cannot lie, it does not simply mean that God cannot say something that's false. What it also means is if it wasn't true before God said it, it's going to be true after he did. Before God spoke to Gideon, he was not a mighty man of valor. He was hiding in the threshing floor, scared to death. But after God spoke and said, "Oh, ye mighty man of valor," his word creates you to become who he says you are. He cannot lie. His word will not return void. It will accomplish what it was sent to do. I stand and proclaim the word of God that you have been called to be a great church, to be a leader among churches, to be great families, to be great individuals. So it's time to lift up your heads. Some of you have been struggling for survival. Some of you have been struggling not just for spiritual survival, but just plain old survival. Not even professing to be spiritual. But it's time to hear the word of the Lord that he sent me to say. And it's time for letting it transform you. He will make you and mold you and give you hope through your struggles. And he's going to turn you into gold. I love the old song, "I Have Hope." When trouble comes my way, I have hope because Jesus has come to stay. You know, when you see people barely coming into church and struggling just to sit in the pew, don't criticize them. Don't rebuke them with looks or words. Remember, we're all struggling with something. But he loves us. He has great plans for us. So step one, we need each other. Step two, God and grace are going to hang with you. And step three, you just got to keep walking. God never said that we had to create oceans or mountains or anything else. He never said that we had to be perfect. He never said we wouldn't fall. But he did say in Micah 7:8, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, because when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord is going to be a light unto me." I have authority over Satan. I don't have authority over the sun, the moon, and the stars, but I do have the authority to rise again. I have the authority for peace. I have the authority for joy. I have the authority to live an overcoming life in the middle of an insane society. I have the authority to live as a child of God. But you know what? Satan wants to get us to a place where we've struggled for so long that we're so disgusted with ourselves that we don't even want to ask for our rightful position. I rebuke that spirit. You are a child of God, blood bought by the blood that he shed on Calvary. And he has built a city for you to go and to spend eternity with him, all because he loves you. Not because you're perfect. Not because you haven't battled depression. Not because you haven't wanted to throw in the towel. Not because you haven't had times when you wish this would all be over. He has done it because he loves you. Imperfect, dysfunctional you. He loves you. Hope always smiles from the threshold of pain, saying, "I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I may not have won that round, but I'm going to win this war. I'm coming back." There is Hope is more than a feeling. It's a person. It's Him. He is my hope. I know what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like to search for survival. 10 years I struggled for my life. Years of doctors and hospitals and depression and despair, financial ruin, crisis after crisis. The struggle is real and the search is real. But I know Him. And He is my hope. He is my refuge. He is my strength. He is my very present help in my time of trouble. And He is here. Right now, He wants to lead you out of where you are into His marvelous light. You have landed in the right place tonight. If you need some sanity to come back to your life, if you need some healing to come to your soul, if you need some peace to surround you when you lay your head down at night, if you need some anxiety to disappear, if you need to know how to stay sane in an insane world, you have showed up at the right place tonight. He loves you. And He wants this church to know that for us to move from where we are to where He wants us to be, we got to quit depending on ourselves, our own abilities, our own intellects, even our own spirituality, because we're living in a crazy society that can accuse anybody of anything, that can come unglued at any moment. Crisis can break out tomorrow. Pandemics can come. Financial crisis can come. There's nothing sure any longer. But thank God my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. Now, I don't know what you need tonight, but I know that He gave me this and wanted me to share it with you. I've never shared it before. I don't know if I'll ever share it again. But it's been a crazy summer in Madison. And He's come to tell you, it's okay. He's large and in charge. He's got it all figured out. All you got to do is hang with each other, live with grace, and keep walking. And you're going to make it. This church is going to double, triple, quadruple, until you're going to look back and wonder what in the world happened. Suddenly. So let's all take a time tonight to refocus and recenter ourselves on what's really important. And that is the fact He's in love with me, I'm in love with Him, and nothing else matters. You know, we make life so complicated. We make church so complicated. We make living in community so complicated. When the truth is, a big dose of love and grace and endurance and Lincoln arms will take care of a whole lot of problems. I don't know why it is, I'll share some of this Wednesday night, and Steve, you can take it in just a minute. I don't know why it is that we struggle so in being the church that God wants us to be. We complicate things. When I was in China this last time, I got into some things that I had never done. I had to get into some counseling sessions. It's kind of difficult when you don't speak Chinese. Thank God for interpreters. But here's the thing that amazes me about them. When they came to a counseling session, and I know a lot of this is cultural, and I'm not saying this is what we should do. This is a premise I want you to understand. When they came for a counseling session, they brought their friends. I was never so shocked in all of my life. When somebody would come in, they really had, and I'm talking, y'all, these are serious problems that I had to deal with. They brought their friends, and they come in as a group, and they all sit down, and they support the one in need. And while the one in need is pouring out their heart and crying and talking about how bad everything is, the others are patting them on the back. You're going to make it. We're going to hang here with you. We're going to survive this together. I'm here for you. They've understood the concept of hanging together. Persecution does that. And some of you have lived through some persecution over all kinds of things. Instead of that putting a division, let's let that pull us together. Tekla Marion, who was the greatest revivalist the UPC has ever seen, had the church in Ethiopia. He had 1 million people in that nation, baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Incredible revival. I'll never forget when my dad was sitting with Tekla Marion and he asked him, he said, "Tek, what do you attribute this revival to?" Man, everybody in the U.S. wants to know. They want to do this. The prayer, fasting, what can we do? Do you know what he said back to my father? And we were all never so shocked in all of our life. He said, "If y'all want revival, there's one easy way. It's called unity. Unify yourselves and nothing can stop you." Calvary Gospel, unify yourselves. Nothing can stop you. And I'm not saying that you have division or you have problems. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, there is a level that we can reach of unity in the body of Christ. Unity works. Do you know how the Tower of Babel worked? Unity. So much unity that God had to come down and take care of it because it was unity in the wrong direction. Unity will work. And it's time for us as a body of Christ to link arms in unity and say, "You're my brother, you're my sister, so whatever you're struggling with, I'm struggling with, and I'm going to help you get through this, and we are going to take Madison, Wisconsin for God. We are not going to live where we've always lived. We are going to a new level and a new dimension in God, and we are going to conquer this kingdom that God has given us." Can we stand? Oh, hallelujah. His presence is ushered in here. You know what? I want you to take hands with somebody, but here's what I want you to do. I want it linked all the way across. Reach across the aisle. If we're going to survive this insane world and keep our sanity, it's going to take being linked arm in arm, hand in hand. Walking together. "You're my brother, you're my sister. Take me by the hand." Hushuk.
What would the person whose hand you hold
what would they have to do for you to no longer be in fellowship with them? Is there anything? Can we love that much? I want you to pray for somebody. Terry mentioned Tekla Marion, who is... I was privileged to be over there for revival. They claimed 1 million souls. There was no way to count it to be sure. But I remember sitting and talking with him. And they asked him, and he said, unity. But he said, you know, you could hardly understand him. He said, I have a heavy heart. I hadn't thought of this in years. And we all said, why? And he said, well, I was riding a train one day, and some people that were against the church, trying to snuff out the church that God was building, they came by and grabbed my baby out of my wife's arms and threw it out the window of the train, and we never saw it again. I'm telling you, link together, hold each other up, and the people are coming. Don't despair hard times. You hear me? If it's tough, don't be weary of it. Hang in there. Hang in there. Great and good and wonderful things are coming. So reach over right now, and the person whose hand you hold, one of them, just lay your hand on their shoulder or their head or whatever's convenient and whatever's right, and ask God by His grace and mercy to bring us together. Lord, in Jesus' name. We got to get to where nothing else matters. Lord, I wonder what would happen if that was one of my grandkids. I cannot imagine. I don't even know if I love you that much, but I think I do. Yea, though He slay me. Yeah, come on, I hear you. I hear you talking out there. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, kala boshe, tala na na na. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, listen. How many here need a healing touch from the Lord right now? No, I mean, you're sick and you need a touch from the Lord. You got pain. You need that miracle touch from Jesus. Lift that hand up. Hold it up just a second. I want somebody that's near somebody with their hand up. Just go right up or to them. Yeah, just go right over to somebody with their hand up. These signs shall follow them that believe. Lay hands on them and they shall recover. Pastor, if we're ever going to see thousands, then this is how it's going to have to happen. Me and you can't run 1,000 through it one at a time. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Bring miracles and healing all over this building right now in the name of Jesus. I lose faith. Let it be in the hand and heart of every child of God here right now. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we live in a world full of fear. And we're going to let you go. I think we were supposed to have been through before now. It's the flood. Well, you don't want to go to your car in the rain, so we'll just stay here for a while. Praise God. So listen to me. Panic attack, fear, can't sleep at night, worried out of your mind, is not the will of God for God's people. He did not give you a spirit of fear. But fear is loose in our world today. It's loose in our world today. People are unstable. People are shaky. People are full of fear. Do you realize that every day in the last few years, every day there's a tragedy? Somebody shot 3 here. Somebody shot 9 there. Some volcano blowing up here. Some tornado here. Some hurricane there. Somebody took a gun to school and killed 50 people here, and on and on. Our world is in a mess. But that's when we shine the brightest. Oh, hallelujah. If you'll be honest and say, I struggle with fear. I struggle with worry. Sometimes when I'm trying to go to sleep, I can't even hardly breathe. The enemy sends panic my way, and I'm fearful. If you're brave enough to raise your hand, Jesus is strong enough to take care of it. Hold it up. In the name of Jesus, by the authority of the name that's above every name, I loose angels with peace in their wings. Woo, hallelujah, in the name of the Lord. Overcome fear with peace. Overcome fear with joy. Overcome fear with love. Overcome panic with peace. In the name of Jesus. Let peace be loosed in this house. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, there's a great presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody shout victory. Oh, come on. Victory. 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 Come on now. So Terry was talking about her dad making statements, and of course her dad passed this summer, and we're still mourning his loss. And I bought his car, so Terry and I own his car, and if you see it out there, the license plates, we haven't gotten the new tags on it yet because we just got it. And his license plates were Acts 238, so... And everybody in Louisiana knew it, so they said that you could drive 100 miles an hour from one end of Louisiana to the other and never get stopped because, anyway, that's inside joke, but it's true. And the reason I said all that was just simply to say that I'm going to leave you with one of his famous statements, okay? And then I want you to repeat it to your neighbor. You ready? If you're going through hell, don't stop. Come on, tell your neighbor.
Thank you so very much, Brother Sister Spears. I just want to give everybody a big old hug right now and then share some cheese curds. I love all of you. You're such an awesome... We have a great family here. But you know, we have a lot of cousins, a lot of aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas, brothers and sisters that we haven't met yet. And God is building us so we can build them. And I'm just excited for what God is doing, where God is taking us. Before we leave tonight, let's just shake hands. Brothers, give your brother a big hug. Tell him how much you appreciate him. You're praying for him. Sisters, go to your sisters. Let them know. We'll be back here Wednesday night. Wednesday night's going to be a little bit of a break from our previous weeks. And it's going to be a great time of fellowship and worship.